Let's turn in the Word of God to Psalm number 8. We're going to continue our studies in the book of Psalms. Pray that the Lord will bless us as we even read this portion of His Word. Psalm number 8, and commencing to read at verse number 1. Psalm number 8 and verse number 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honour. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Amen. Let's seek the face of God this morning, please. If you know and love the Lord, then please pray that the Lord will speak this morning through his word. Our gracious Lord and our eternal Heavenly Father, we come before thee with the words of the psalm that we have just read. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. O Lord, there is no greater blessing than to be able to breathe the precious name of our Lord in prayer, and to call upon him for salvation, and to call upon him for help in the time of trouble. To use that name to lift our praises onto a thrice holy God, and to consider who he is as he is revealed in his word. And we pray, Lord, in the closing moments of this service today, that thou will bring our eyes and our hearts and our minds to focus upon the Christ of God revealed in the word. And I pray, Lord, that thou will give us spiritual wisdom and understanding. Lord, we've drawn aside from the things of the world today, and we pray, Lord, that thou wilt shut them out, and that thou wilt come in all thy risen power, and Lord, thou wilt speak to the people gathered here in this service through thy precious word. We do praise thee for thy presence in the meeting last Lord's Day evening, and yet, Lord, this is a new meeting. We need the fresh anointing of God. We need the fresh presence of the Saviour again, but we thank thee, O Lord, thou hast promised to be in the midst of thy people, where two or three are gathered together in thy name. And our heart's desire this morning is simply to be in the presence of the Saviour. O Lord, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Yeah. And I pray, Lord, this morning in thy house, as we learn more about our God, we will be filled with joy in our hearts. Lord, bless thy dear people this morning. Thou knowest their needs, Lord. How often we need our minds refocused again on who God is. And I pray this morning that as we look upon the Lord, thou wilt encourage our hearts, strengthen our souls. I pray, O Lord, for those who are going through difficult times, that, Lord, this word will come as a comfort to them, that while their circumstances change, thank the Lord that thou dost not. And I pray, Lord, you'll help them to hold on to thee and the promises of thy word. Remember those, Lord, who are facing very great trials. Their tears are very real this morning. Their pain is very real. Lord, I pray that thou wilt come, and even through thy word, thou wilt minister unto them. Give them the peace that passeth understanding. Pray for those, Lord, who are playing about with the things of God. Oh, Lord, they've made a profession, and yet, Lord, there's no fruit, or they're certainly walking in Bypath Meadow this morning. Oh, Lord, we dare not judge, but thou, O Lord, knowest the heart. And I pray, Lord, if that be the case for people in this gathering this morning, Lord, that the sight of God this morning through his word will compel them to return to their first love. Oh, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And we pray, O Lord, that the backslider will remember that today. And they'll come and they'll reaffirm that trust in Christ. Pray for those who are not saved this morning. And Lord, I pray in this house this morning that thou wilt come and thou wilt speak to their hearts. Lord, we acknowledge we could stand for hours and speak of the wisdom of man, and that would avail nothing. But we thank thee with the word of God this morning. And we do present it, Lord, and we ask that thou wilt use it for thy glory. Lord, pierce the hardest of hearts this morning. Show man who he really is before the awesome Creator God. And I pray, O Lord, this morning that thou wilt cause man to take his rightful place before the cross and kneel in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O Lord, that thy word is sufficient. Thy Spirit is well able to give thy word into the hearts of the people this morning. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt do it to the glory of thy dear name. Lord, bless our congregation. We pray for each home represented here. We pray that the favor of God will be upon it. We pray that the smile of God will be upon our families for good. Lord, I pray that you'll unite them in Christ. Pray, Lord, you'll do what is impossible with man. But, Lord, we thank thee, nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Lord, unite our families. Save the lost. Set us as the people of God on fire for thee. Give us a zeal and a fervency, we pray, for the things of God. Forgive us, Lord, whenever we haven't been wholehearted. But we pray this morning that even as a congregation, we will stand and say from this moment on, we will give our all. Lord, I pray this morning, even through the preaching of thy word, thou wilt stir up the hearts of God's people. And Lord, give us a fervency for the things of God. Lord, I pray that thou wilt give aid this morning, empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Give me the ability to deliver thy word to the glory of thy name. For we ask it for Christ's sake and for his alone. Amen. Amen. You know, I believe that one of the greatest tragedies of believers is that they do not take time to reflect upon who God is. We don't take time to be still and know that he is God. The world is so busy, there is so much that there to distract us, so many things upon our minds, so many pressures upon our lives, but yet how much sweeter and frequent would be the victories in our Christian walk if we knew more of who God is. How lighter would be the burdens if we knew more about the Lord. I have no doubt that many people in this congregation read the Word of God. I have no doubt that each night you come before it, but often because of the busyness and the pressures of the day, we let the Word of God pass through our minds, but it doesn't get the opportunity to dwell upon our hearts. And if we are going to know God, then we must dwell upon the person of God, even those involved in the work of God, with responsibility in the ministry of God's word, in any aspect of God's service, can be in great danger of thinking so much about the work that they don't have the time to think about the Lord. And surely that is more important. And Scripture makes it very clear that when we think upon the Lord, when we meditate upon the revelation of God and his holy word, there will always be a response to these thoughts. When you think upon God, there'll be a reaction upon your life and upon your heart. You know, it's marvelous to think that the Lord thinks upon us. Because he says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Thank the Lord, he thinks upon us. And then in the New Testament, there's a question asked. The Lord himself asked the question, what think ye of Christ? And I wonder this week, as you look back over the week that's gone into eternity, God's people this morning, what have you thought about Christ? What have you learned about the Savior? What is it that you have read in his word that has captivated your soul and thrilled you this week, that has kept you going on, has encouraged you in the things of God? Sad to say, the reality often is this, that the Lord says in Psalm 94:11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Now, man in his sin, a man without God, will never think about the Lord. They'll only be full of empty thoughts. But whenever we're saved, we must seek to discipline our minds and our hearts that our thoughts are directed toward the things of God. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you have to forget about things. Rather, it means you have to discipline those things and train the body and bring it under subjection and train the mind to bring it into the place where it thinks about the things of God. You see, the mind left to itself will wander. The mind left to itself will go to the things of the flesh. But we can seek to train our minds that we might think upon the things of God. And whenever our minds are upon the things of God, then our heart will sing the praises of the Lord. You know, last Lord's Day evening, the youth fellowship sang a song, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. and consider all the works thy hands hath made. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And he says, and when I think, whenever I think that God, his son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And sadly today, we just so often rolled off, the Lord died for me. And you know what? We don't stand in awe and we don't stand in wonder because we don't stand still and think about it. Because whenever you do that, whenever you consider, whenever you think, what's the reaction? Then sings my soul. My Savior God, to thee how great thou art. And not only will the soul sing, but the life will be lived to the glory of God. And in this psalm, the psalmist has been thinking about the Lord. And his thoughts and his consideration have been about the Lord God Jehovah and about the creation of the Lord. And then he looks at man and he sees what man is. And you know what? He can't be silent. He says, O Lord, my Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Perhaps he was thinking about the mercy of God that had reached him in salvation that had led him through life to this point. Perhaps he was thinking forward to the coming Messiah who would die as a substitute for his sin, shed his precious blood and redeem his soul. Perhaps he thought about the preserving hand of God. David was a shepherd within the field and he knew what it was for the attacks of the bear and the lion. And the Lord had preserved him and the Lord had given him strength. And maybe as he thought upon that, he was able to say, O Lord, my Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And with the high thoughts of God and with the blessing within his heart, David no longer thinks, but then he utters speech and he utters praise. And that is why we have Psalm number 8 in God's Word. Do you know, I believe that that's what people ought to do when they come into the house of God. Whenever you come into the house of God and you take your place in the pew, I believe you ought to bring your thoughts and your minds to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the God whom we come to worship. That whenever we sing the opening hymn, we come with hearts prepared. That's what before the service is for. It's for time of preparation. It's a time to still yourself in the presence of the Lord. And I'm blessed when I see people come into God's house and they sit down and they bow their head as soon as they sit down to prepare their heart for the things of God. Friend, how profitable for us to think upon the Lord, not to speak about what is going on that week. Now, fellowship is important. We thank God for that. But just before we come into the presence of the Lord, it's God's time. It's not catch-up time. It's time for us to seek the face of God that our hearts might be right as we come into his presence. And here we come to a psalm of praise and wonder at the majesty and the mercy of God. How much sweeter would our worship be if we had our hearts set upon the majesty and the mercy of God. And he says there in Psalm number 1, O Lord, our Lord. And you will notice that there are two words used there for Lord. And the first one is a capitalized Lord. O Lord, our Lord. And that is the name that the Lord has given his people to address him and to describe him. It is the name of the Lord God Jehovah. In the Old Testament, it is written with the four capital letters, L-O-R-D. Apart from a few times when the word Jehovah is actually used. And in the New Testament, whenever you read the word Lord, just in ordinary letters, L-O-R-D, that is referring back to the Old Testament Jehovah. So it's the same name. It means Jehovah. What does the word Jehovah mean? It means a self-existent, eternal, unchanging one. Do you know that our God does not have a beginning, but man does? Our God does not need another being to exist, but man does. Our God does not change, but man does. Therefore, in this title, given to the Lord by the Spirit of God, is an expression of truth that God is far above man in every aspect of his being. God is different from man. He's above man. You know, the very first time that word Lord in that capitalized way is used in Scripture is Genesis 2:4, and it's talking about creation. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Therefore, this morning we can say that the Lord God, Jehovah, is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Everything that exists this morning, he willed it and he spake it into being. He is a creator and we are the creatures. And if we have that order right in our minds, oh, how different would our lives be? Man lives as if he's in charge of everything. Man lives as if he can exist without God. And yet if we read God's word, he is the creator and we are merely the creatures, the dust of the ground. But not only is the Lord God Jehovah the creator, but he is the redeemer of man. And this is very important because there are many times people preach heresy regarding the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you will find in God's word that the Spirit of God reveals that not only is God as the triune God Jehovah, but the Lord Jesus Christ, as he came into this world, is also Jehovah God, fully God and fully man. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 44, you will read these words in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 6. And the Lord is speaking, Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 6, and it says, "Thus saith the Lord God, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." And what he's saying there is, "Thus saith the Lord and his Redeemer, the Jehovah of hosts." And the Lord is declaring there that not only is he God, but the Son of God is also Jehovah. "Behold, God is my strength and my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation." That's Isaiah 12 verse 2. "Therefore, the one that was born in Bethlehem, the one that wrought the miracles, the one that preached, the one that offered himself as a sacrifice for sinners and rose again on their behalf is the Lord God Jehovah." The Lord Jehovah. Now, it says there, "I am the first and I am the last," in Isaiah 45. And of course, that phrase is repeated in the book of Revelation. Who's speaking in the book of Revelation? The Lord Jesus Christ. "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last." In case you weren't sure, it was the Lord Jesus Christ speaking in Revelation 22, verse 16. It says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star." And then, of course, is that verse in Colossians which says, "In him," that's Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Now, why have we taken the time this morning to prove to you that the Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah God? Why have we done that this morning? Because this is the area where false cults and false religions differ and often fail. Whenever they take away from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever they take away from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not think rightly of Christ as he is revealed in Scripture, then you are in error. If you do not accept Christ as revealed in his word, then you're wrong. Doesn't matter how convicted you are in your heart, you're wrong. John 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, was with God, and the word was God." Do you know that in some cults in our town, in our land, their translation of that passage of God's word says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." And they take away from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They take away from his being, and that's blasphemy, and it's wrong. And you know what? Man has changed the word. But the very fact his name is Jehovah means the Lord hasn't changed. Everything that the Lord has revealed in his word is still true today about him. Everything that's true about the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture is still true today. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." And that's a truth that we need to write in our hearts. The Lord doesn't change. The Lord doesn't change. We live in a changing world, but the Lord God, our Creator and Redeemer, is an unchanging God. Thank God his promises haven't changed. They're still true today. They're still strong today. If we seek him, we will find him. When we seek for him with all of our hearts, that's a promise that is still true today. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's true today. "I will be with thee whithersoever thou goest." It's true today. You know, his gospel hasn't changed. We must remember this. The basis of the fact that the Lord's name means he's unchanging means his gospel hasn't changed. And sadly to say, people have changed the gospel today. We have no right to alter one little mark in the original language of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We dare not say anything contrary to God's word, because the curse of God will be upon us. The gospel is still the same. We must repent from our sin. We must trust in the Savior. Oh yes, you can hear other gospels. Yes, they will seem appealing. Oh yes, they will offer prosperity. But it's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the gospel of the Word. And the Word hasn't changed either. We can go through, and I was looking on the internet just this past week, that the different versions of the Bible, and there are those who've taken out the atonement because it doesn't please man to read about it. Now, the Word hasn't changed, although man has changed the Word, but the Word of God is forever settled in heaven, and it cannot be changed. It cannot be changed. God's purposes have not changed. And there are many people who will say, well, as long as you're saved, that's okay, go live how you want. The Lord Jesus Christ does not save people to live how they want. He saves them that they might be holy. And if you have been saved and you're truly born again, and right now you're living how you want, you're in Bypath Meadow, you're insulting the Lord by not living the life that He has called you to live and the power that He has given you to live it. If you're living just like the world, well then, friend, you're not living the purpose of God for your life. His purpose is still the same for you. He says to you this morning, come back to your first love. I'm married to the backslider. And if you persist in that line, the Lord will chastise you with a heavy hand. Thank God it's in love and it's mercy. But if you're in this place this morning and you somehow think that I can take part of the gospel and part of God's salvation and live how I want, well, friend, then you're very wrong in your understanding of God's word. Because it says there that the purposes of God has not changed. The method of reaching souls hasn't changed. The method of reaching souls hasn't changed. Now, there is nothing wrong with fellowship. And there is nothing wrong with getting people together and having fun together, as long as it does not dishonor the Lord. But that is not the method that the Lord has given that souls might be saved. Souls are not saved through physical activities or football matches or things like that. And sad to say, there are churches, and that's what they're trying to reach people with. Now, friend, the only way the Holy Spirit reaches the heart is through the Word of God, applied to the heart. Now, I enjoy sport, but, friend, I am under no illusion. It is not a means of the gospel reaching someone else's heart. It's through the Word. It's through the Word. And if we ever get away from the preaching of the Word as the central and the highest form of worship, and the only way that Christ will save souls, then we have utterly failed as a church. And we will be found being asked of God on that day why we are not faithful. The avenue of blessing hasn't changed. If man and woman want to be blessed of God, they must get on their knees and they must pray and they must repent. And I just heard this within the past number of days. We've had days of prayer and days of prayer and fasting. But we need days of prayer and fasting and repentance. Because if we're not willing to put away that which is hindering the blessing of God, we can pray till we're blue in the face. Friend, we need to get right with God. If you want the blessing of God in your life, there is an avenue to go. If we want the blessing of God as a fellowship, as a congregation, if you want it as a family, there is a means and an avenue that we must travel down. And it's God's avenue. His avenue hasn't changed. When God saves a person, they do not fit God into their plans, but rather they are transformed and they daily conform so that they might fit in with the plans and the will of God. That is true salvation. And thank God, with the thought of the Lord God Jehovah, there's also the thought that with this name, there are no limitations with God. We're limited in our power and our knowledge and such like. But with the Lord God, there are no limitations. He is limitless in His holiness, limitless in His love. No tongue or pen can ever tell the love of God. No man can ever comprehend the holiness of God. And thank God, He is absolute and limitless in His resources. He giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth again. And you know what? He's never depleted. He never misses. He never loses. Because of the infinite riches of the grace and the mercy of God. Oh, there's grace for every trial that we need to face. And thank God you can take grace every day and every hour and every moment. There's still infinite more, infinitely more, that you might have it for all eternity. There's wisdom. And God can give you wisdom every day. God can give you courage. He can give you strength. And he can give you power. And all of these things are true. And all of these things are for the people of God. But then he says something else. He says, O Lord, our Lord. And that's in small letters. And that is a different word. Because that is a word which is translated in Scripture as Lord, Master, and Owner. And that is speaking about the Lord God Jehovah being your Master, your Owner, the one who possesses you and me. Now, it's used in Scripture to speak of somebody possessing property, to speak of someone possessing servants as kings, as rulers over their subjects, as husbands, as the head of the home, as God as the proprietor of the world. It's also used as a title of respect in Scripture if you're addressing a father or a brother or a king. It's a title of respect. And it is declaring the acknowledgement that you belong to the person to whom you're speaking. 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And sometimes we need to be reminded of this truth that we belong to God. We belong to the Lord. You know, Satan tells the onsee of the lie, well, you know what? You're free to do whatever you want now. You can live whatever way you want, make your own decisions, you can do whatever you want. You're your own Lord and Master. But if you get saved, then you'll be under the authority of God. Oh, how restricted you'll be. Oh, the hand of God, you'll not be allowed to do this, you'll not be allowed to do that. And yet the great reality is this, there is great freedom in being owned of the Lord. There's true freedom in being one of God's precious and prized possessions. Friend, if you're not saved, you are under authority. You do have a master. This morning as you sit in this meeting, you are not your own master, but Satan is your master. You're under the authority of hell this morning. That is your home. There abideth your Father. Yet thank God whenever you're saved, you become a member of the family of God. He is the one who is your Lord and your Master and your Owner. And what great joy there is in knowing that the Lord owns me. I have been purchased by his precious blood. Praise the Lord this morning. That for those who are saved, the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. We thank God for that, but never forget he's also your Lord. Do you know at times in 2 Peter, Peter refers to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And what a great example for believers. O Lord, my Lord and Savior. And as the Lord of his people, he has a plan for your life. We read that already in Jeremiah. I know the thoughts I have toward you. Are the plans that can be translated. The Lord's plan for your life. Don't let the devil say, Lord can't do anything with you. Friend, if you're saved, the Lord has a plan for your life. Lord has a purpose for your talents. It's not for the world. It's not for self-promotion, but rather it's for the extension of the kingdom of God. He is a people for you to witness to. And the Lord has this plan for you. Child of God, are you seeking the plan of God? Are you seeking the will of God for your life? Are you seeking to be honorable and obedient to your Lord and to your Master? And then he goes on and he says, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now, of course, in the Hebrew, has the thought of the name revealing something of the character of the person whom it describes. That really isn't the case today. My name, Ryan, means little king. And it doesn't describe me at all for not of royal descent or anything like that. But in Bible times, the name was a very special thing. Do you know that the name of the Lord is referred to many times in Scripture? And the name of the Lord speaks much about the Savior. It speaks much about the Savior. It tells us in Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. He says, the sorrows of death compass me and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Friend, the name of the Lord this morning is something you can call upon and know salvation in. And if you can say that the sorrows of death compass me, the pains of hell get hold upon me, I'm scared to face eternity on my own. I am scared to stand before the Lord. I am scared to die because I know that hell is my place. Then you too with the psalmist can say, I will call upon the name of the Lord. What did he say? O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Lord, deliver me from the condition I'm in right now. And thank God, the name of the Lord, in that name there is salvation. Thank God, there's also help in that name for the saved. Because it says in Psalm 124, verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And friend, whatever you need this morning, there is help in the Lord. It reminds us he made heaven and earth. That's the most wonderful thing God has done in creation. He made heaven and earth. No greater thing could be done in this world physically than the work of creation. And if God can do that, then he can help the small issue of the problem of you that you have this morning. Proverbs 18 verse 10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And thank the Lord this morning, there's also a refuge in the name of the Lord. In the person of God. You breathe his name in prayer. Yes, there's salvation. Yes, there's help. Thank God there's a refuge. There's a safety. There's a security because there is power in the name of the Lord. You know, there's really only one name that can be called upon with profit when the sinner's burden is greater than the sinner can bear. And that's the name of the Lord. There's really only one name in which we can find help and strength and safety as God's people. And that is the name of the Lord. It's not the name of a church. It's not the name of a preacher. It's not the name of an evangelist, but thank God in the name of the Lord, there is much blessing and help and strength and consolation. Hymn writer said, take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer, precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. And I'm sure you realize this morning why the psalmist is able to rejoice in the Lord in such a way. Because you know there are many people in the study about God. The study of God is called theology. And you don't need to be saved to be a theologian. But friend, you do need to be saved to be able to say, how excellent is thy name. Because he was able to say, O Lord, our Lord, there was possession there. Not only did he belong to the Lord, but the Lord was his. I am his and he is mine. See, that's the difference. And there's many people know about God, but they can't say from the depths of their heart he is altogether lovely. Because, friend, they don't know him personally. And that's what makes the difference. And if you're not saved in this meeting of this morning, then the name of the Lord isn't precious to you. Oh, yes, there's a degree of respect in the house of God. We thank you for that. But in all reality, the name of the Lord isn't precious to you. It's not something in which you're trusting. It is not a strength in life. It is not eternal comfort to you. It is not safety in trouble because you do not know the one of whom it speaks. But can I say to you this morning, in the authority of God's word, that he is everything he claims to be and more. He's everything he declares to be and more. Friend, he's a wonderful Savior. Why would a man or a woman leave the house of God without the Savior this morning? He has a confidence when we face eternity. Christ in me, the hope or the confidence of glory. Why would a man or a woman or a boy or girl leave the house of God this morning without knowing for sure that they are going to be in heaven when they die? Friend, this is a Savior who can give you that confidence. A Savior who can give you that assurance. A Savior who can save you thoroughly. How can you live knowing you're just a step from hell when this morning there's a Savior who can redeem you for all eternity? Surely this morning, as you look at the name of the Lord, you see a wonderful God who was able to save to the uttermost. And then what happens after that? The psalmist declares the extent of the glory of the Lord. And he says, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And I love that little phrase because we are living in days when man seeks in his folly to diminish God. That's what man does today. There's society set up over in England and they're getting money away that they might promote atheism. Humanism, that they might seek to take and discredit the name of God out of the minds of the people. Voltaire, whenever he was vehemently against the Lord and against the word of God, declared, he stood up and he declared before thousands of people that in 50 years' time, if you ever wanted to see a Bible, you would have to go to a museum and look at it behind glass, because I am going to do everything in my power to put down the gospel and the Lord Jesus and religion. Where's Voltaire today? He's in hell today. And you know what? Voltaire used every ounce of strength that the Lord had given him to fight against the Lord. But thank the Lord never diminished. The Lord never changed. He is Jehovah God, the unchanging one. In fact, the very house that Voltaire lived in is used today to print copies of the Word of God. We see God always has the last say. God always wins. People try to mock the Lord. They try to diminish scriptures, persecute the church, make laws contrary to the Word. And no matter what man does, God hasn't changed. And the thrill is this. It doesn't matter what man seeks to do, he can never, never take away from the glory of God. And sometimes we get worried, oh, what's God going to do? What's God going to do? Friend, God is going to do exactly as he always has done. He is going to declare his glory throughout the world. God doesn't change. And those who lifted their wicked hands will stand before God, and they will give an account of everything that they have done. And let us be encouraged this morning. The excellency of God is throughout the earth. Creation declares it. Scripture reveals it. God's people ought to show it in our lives, that we might declare the glory of God, the excellency of the power of God. And not only did he declare it throughout all the earth, but he says, thou hast set thy glory above the heavens. Not just in the heavens, but above the heavens. There are no limitations to the place where the glory of God is known. And I think it's very significant that the Lord mentions the heavens. We know that there are people on earth who are against God. But did you know that one time, even in the place where God dwells, there was one who was against him? Satan himself. Once an angel of light in the place of God, sought to exalt himself that he might be as God. And he was cast out of heaven. And he was cast out of that place. And those who followed him also were cast out. Ignoring God, he lived his life as if he was God. And you know what? That's exactly what sinners do today. They do exactly what Satan did in heaven. They live as if they were God. They exalt themselves to the person of God. Man today without God fulfills his own plans, sets his own rules, makes his own judgments, and living, perhaps there are those in this meeting and you've been living your life that way up until this point. I'm my own master. I'm my own Lord. I am my own God. I will make my rules. I will make my plans. I will make my judgments. I will decide what's right and wrong. And that may be, but there's only one problem with that thinking. There only is one God. There only is one true God. And what we read about Satan in God's word as the angel being thrown out of heaven is this: those who set themselves against God cannot prosper. Those who set themselves against God cannot prosper. And that's a lesson for the unsaved in this meeting this morning. You live without God, you will not prosper. You live without the Lord, and you will never succeed in knowing fulfillment and contentment in life, because the moment you close your eyes in death, you will pay for the wages of your sin in hell. But what a lesson to God's people. Because sometimes we get ideas and pride within our heart, and sometimes we go on a course that is against God's revealed will. And sometimes it's sheer pride when we realize we're wrong. We don't come back and we say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. But we go on just to see a face. Friend, you never prosper when you go against God. Whether you be saved or unsaved, there's no prosperity whenever you're against the things of God. And perhaps there's someone in this meeting this morning, maybe saved. And for months or years, you've been against God in some aspect of your life. Maybe we don't know about it, but the Lord knows. My friend, what a solemn thing it would be that you're living your life against something God has revealed unto you. Friend, you will not prosper. You will not prosper. Because his glory is from afar above the heavens to the lowermost part of the earth. And friend, only those who honor him will be blessed by God. And then as we bring our meeting to a close this morning, I want us to just consider very briefly Verse number 2, and it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou gained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now the thought in this verse is that Jehovah, the one who is Lord over all things, can take the weakest things of this world and use them for his glory. He can make them strong. You know, the world maybe drives past and they don't think much of you and they don't think much of me. But you know what? The Lord can take the weak things of this world and fill them with his Holy Spirit and use them for the extension of his kingdom. You know, he can take us. He can use us powerfully if we will obey his command. Now, while the verse here is painting a picture of weak things that are used mightily by the Lord, just little babes, little children, the Lord Jesus Christ himself referred to this portion in Matthew 21, verses 15 and 16. And we're taught a beautiful truth in this passage, and it's this, that children can glorify the Lord. Children can glorify the Lord. If you're a saved boy or girl in this meeting this morning, you can please the Lord by the life that you live, by the words that you say, by the things that you do. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 15, after the money changers were cast out of the temple, in verse 15, and the chief, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that the Lord did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. They were sore displeased and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Now, history tells us that it was a very common thing in New Testament times for children to make public praise towards celebrated rabbis in the temple. Whenever they came, they worshipped them with their lips. And that's what they were trained to do as a mark of honour and as a mark of respect. The Jews are a very expressive people. So the chief priests and scribes were not displeased that the children were making a scene. That wasn't the issue. It wasn't they were making noise and they were shouting out. That wasn't an issue. They were annoyed because of the one to whom the praise was being directed. You see, the praise wasn't going to them. It was going to the Lord. And here's what the children said. The boys and girls said, Hosanna, glory to the Son of David. Praise the Lord. Do you know the fact they were calling him the Son of David? The fact they were using the name Hosanna? Do you know what the boys and girls were realizing? This was the Messiah. This is the Savior. Thank God the Savior has come. And there were men standing behind him. And boy, they knew the Old Testament from beginning to end, but they didn't know the Savior. And yet the boys and girls were able to turn around and say, the Lord Jesus is the Savior. And you know, those people spoke against the boys and girls, but you know what the Lord showed us? He is pleased with such praise. And surely there's no greater sign than to hear a boy or a girl or a man or a woman who's been saved from their sin praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord. I had the privilege of helping out at camps with CEF for over 10 years, before it went into Bible College, and then with some of our camps with the Free Presbyterian Church. And you know, there was no greater blessing than the time whenever you came round for what we called our quiet time devotions in the morning and the evening. We read part of God's Word, and then we told the children as we sat around the circle, maybe only 5 or 6, and you say, we're going to pray around. What do you want us to pray for? Remember us in prayer. And boys and girls from the age of 6, 7, 8, up to their teens, and they simply prayed to the Lord in simple childlike faith. And you know what? It brought a tear to your eye because of the simplicity of the faith of children. And you know, that honors the Lord. Boys and girls, if you pray to the Lord, you're honoring the Lord. You come to God's house and you sing the hymns and you listen to the word, you're honoring the Lord. Grown-ups in this meeting, what about you? Are you honoring the Lord with your lips? With your praise? With your life? As boys and girls listen to their mother and father talk at home, their grandparents, their aunts or uncles, would they be led to be a people who worship God with their lips? Is that what the theme of their words will be? And what I want you to notice here is this, that strength was available for the weakest when they did something. What was it? When they spoke in Jesus' name. When they spoke about the Lord, their strength. You know, it's not by might. And it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And you know, the Bible says a little child shall lead them, and even a little child of 4, 5, or 6, when the Spirit of God is upon them, they say a word for the Lord, friend, the Lord can use that to even win a soul for him. Boys and girls can be soul winners, men and women can be soul winners, and there's a great thought here. There's power for the weakest to stand in victory, even over every enemy. Note, the strength has been given through speech. Therefore, we need to know the word. We need to know the Lord through the word. We need to come to the light of God through the word, the voice of God through the word. And then finally, and with this we're through, the Lord declares that he has power over all his enemies, because it says that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And that word still means to silence. You know, there's many people who speak against the Lord. There's one in heaven, and or the one comes before the Lord to accuse the brethren. He's accuser of the brethren. But you know what? The Lord will silence him. And that's what that word means, the avenger, the accuser. Where is the Lord whenever Satan comes and brings your life and my life before the Lord and says, well, look at that person, look at him, look at her. Where is the Lord? He's still on his throne. God is still on his throne, and he will remember his own. The trials, oppresses, and burdens, distresses, he never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne. He will remember his own. His promise is true. He will never forget you. God is still on the throne. Oh, may God grant that we would have high thoughts of him. May God grant that we conduct our lives in a proper view of Christ as revealed in Scripture. May God bless his word to our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and praise thee for the privilege of coming to the word of God. I thank thee, Lord, for the privilege of standing here this morning and declaring thy precious word. And I pray, Lord, thou wilt take what has been of thee and write it in hearts and cause it to prosper. And what has been of man, let it fall to the ground. I pray, Lord, that as a congregation, we will have a very high view of God. Lord, we acknowledge this morning we'll never be able to fathom the depths of the love of God or the holiness of God or the wisdom of God. But, O Lord, we can have a high view of God. And I pray in our finite minds you'll cause us to exalt, Lord, the Lord, to the highest degree. And, Lord, live our lives accordingly. May we conduct ourselves aright in his presence. May we be good ambassadors for him. May we, O, declare his glory in our lives. And I pray, Lord, even for the boys and girls in this congregation, that you'll save them while young in life. Amen. And even while these children in Scripture honor the Lord by their lips, that the boys and girls of this congregation will be living testimonies, even in the things that they say. And through their words, that people will be saved. Use us, Lord, as a congregation, from the oldest to the youngest, to be witnesses for thee. Bless us and do us good. Bless the rest of the services in this thy day. And bless us for good in our families. Take us home in the fear of the Lord. For we ask it for Christ's sake alone. Amen.